Hi, this is Jeremy Raddick. I was Gareth in the Doctor Who TV movie, and you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio.
I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Whitten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Keir Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
Charles Martin.
I got their first album, The Salty Butter.
And Haley Malley.
I used to be right next to a train track.
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time before we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers, we do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning. Welcome to episode 318 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where the only time monster we're really dealing with is the calendar. It may be a little less laughable to look at, but it takes a lot longer to defeat. I'm Keir.
I'm Charles.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay. And this week, we sit down and try and figure out what we can do with a minimum of 50 weeks of time without new televised Doctor Who. It seems daunting, we know. Believe us, we know. But we're not without options. And where there are options, there's hope. Or something like that. That sounded a lot deeper in my head.
It did. Well, yeah. Yeah, you need reverb, heavy reverb, where there's options. And we hate to wait because patience sucks. But we have means to be able to get by. We put the feelers out there a couple of weeks ago. We talked to a number of you through a couple different social media networks and said, what are you planning on doing, you know, for the next 50-some-odd weeks at the time we asked? Because we don't even know how far into 2020 will be before we have something official in our hands. So what do you plan on doing to get your Who fix? And the answers were, there were a number of them that were pretty expected, the major things that we spend a lot of our time and money on. But there were some kind of unusual ones too that I hadn't even thought of, or at least first pass. So let's go with some of the ones that I know the four of us have discussed in the last couple of weeks as we just prepared for this. Charles, I'm going to give this one over to you because I know this is something that you make a mainstay of your calendar. In fact, just before we started recording, you're plotting your course, as it were. So what are you doing to make sure that you get your Who fix?
This year, I plan to go outside.
No, you're going to shrivel up and die. You can't.
I am mostly
ginger. And he was never heard from again.
I am mostly ginger, so as long as it's not sunny. No. My shtick is conventions. I love conventions. I love fan-run conventions, and I especially love Doctor Who conventions. So, I actually have a surprisingly full slate of conventions that I plan to get to. There's okay. A lot of logistics involved, so and money. So,
All right.
Well, but naturally, we have to kick off with Gallifrey.
Yes, of course. So, we're coming into what will be the 30th iteration of that particular mainstay, arguably, mm-hmm. if not completely inarguably, the largest Doctor Who convention in North America, and has a phenomenal roster that is growing by the week. Even though we are now officially 31 days as of recording here, away from the next installment, has grown all sorts of fascinating standards about it. People say, well, why? They go to other conventions and say, oh, why are you? What's with the ribbons and things that you're handing out? Oh, that's a galley thing. Or, what are we talking about? The lobby con? What is it? Everybody's in the lobby. What's a lobby con? started with the galley thing. They have become the institution that establishes a lot of the baseline for a Time Lord party as it goes forward. So,
And basically everybody you can name who's in Doctor Who it will be there unless they're dead.
At some point, yeah. At some point, we will. They will make sure that
No, I mean just this year.
Well,
Gallifrey 2019, the guests outnumber the attendees.
That's true. That's true. even at this point, there were a couple tweets that went around today from our beloved Rachel Talalay that said that not only will she be lurking around, but she was intentionally starting rumors that there were going to be special features surrounding some of her episodes.
Ooh.
On the docket. I think it was Death in Heaven that she was referring to. I'll have to go back and take a look. But I remember that going around today, and the folks from Galley One, their social media team confirmed it and said, yeah, there's probably something going on there. So anything she wants
Fantastic.
To do. So yeah, but as far as other conventions and things, they sort of ebb and flow. At least around the North American market. I know a lot of the conventions, Charles, you might be able to speak to. What a Whovian convention in the UK, how that differs. It is a notably different kind of experience, correct?
Oh, yes. Very different, yes.
Okay.
Now, I haven't been to one in a couple of years now, but I used to go to them quite regularly. And I can tell you that, first of all, you know how the North American conventions have so many female fans now? Mm-hmm. That was a thing long ago in the UK conventions. The other thing, of course, is that being in the UK, a lot of guests who, for various reasons, can't or won't come over to faraway places show up, right?
Okay.
I myself, many years ago, was at Monopticon. And I got to interview the fellow who played Kondo in Brain of Morbius. Oh. He was an opera singer.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a very interesting guy. Yeah. But is he ever going to be at a U.S. convention? Not that I know of.
Well, no. No. That's the expense wouldn't warrant bringing them over. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. You also meet a lot more of the directors and writers and below-the-line people.
Right. Who are willing to stay closer to home. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a train right away, or they live just down the road, or whatever. Sure.
Well, and a lot of the actors are willing to come to L.A. because then they can also, like, scrounge up work while they're here. And that might not necessarily be the case for, you know, retired writers and directors.
Yeah. And you know how Gallifrey has its LobbyCon? Well, U.K. conventions have a secondary track called PubCon, where you can find absolutely everybody you just waited in line to get an autograph from. They're in the pub.
Yeah. And now you're going to wait in line to buy them a pint. I get it.
Yep.
Okay. Something else that we had discussed that would be a great opportunity.
So con crud, not as much of a problem as liver disease, is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, one should cancel the other in the right dosage, I thought. No? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Haley, you don't just get sick after
I'm no disease. Doctor, but...
just one hot toddy for every three whiskeys. It's okay.
That's ratio. All you need. Seriously.
Yeah, whiskey's fine. It sterilizes the system.
Yeah. And just don't share pizza in the lobby. When it shows up, everybody gets their own box.
Yeah.
Don't watch out for the party cups.
Label the cups. Yeah, everybody bring a good Sharpie.
Almost as soon as you've unpacked your bags from Galley, you can repack them so that you can go to Regeneration Who, which is still a fairly young con, but has done so much and so well in its time. They have moved the venue this year. It's at Bethesda North Maryland in Rockland. We'll see how that plays out, but they have a number of guests who beg them to go because they have such a nice time. It is really a lot of fun. I've been to every single one of them, and they're just great.
Yeah, we've been to a number of them as well, and Oni and her staff put a lot of heart and a lot of effort in. Change of venue will remain to be seen. They tested out the venue for Pottermore, which is her Harry Potter convention.
Right.
And people are still sort of feeling it out because it's not quite the location that a lot of the real Baltimore residents or people that found it easier to hone in on that area, Rockland being a lot closer to the DC market, but not really that close. It's a tricky spot. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now I have friends in Rockville, so that's great for me. But I will say that for people flying in from out of the area, you have more airports to choose from because of this change of venue.
True. Okay.
Then spring has barely begun before we have to shoot off to Hulanta in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, this convention's been around a long time, but they just in the last few years they got big, and I don't mean Comic-Con big or even Galley big, but bigger, I guess. Mm-hmm. Able to attract more guests and do more stuff, and it's always been a legendarily fun convention with great food because you're in Atlanta. Oh dear,
it's true.
Lovely,
very true. We one con that we just passed because they sort of changed their schedule around a little bit. I'm still trying to figure it out. Was Console Room held
that's right.
In the Minneapolis area? They had just done a con in the fall of last year, and then said, "Okay, well, we're gonna change things around a little bit for 2019." By the way, here it is, bang, in January.
Yeah.
So just a couple of months later, and
amazing. It's amazing they could even pull that together.
I don't know necessarily that they did. That's
that's the thing.
They didn't really have a time to pull a huge roster of guests together, and I'm not sure a lot of people even knew that it went by. Because they didn't have time to get a really big marketing campaign under their feet. So we'll see. We'll hope for them because it's a good spot. The Twin Cities area is a lot of fun, and it has a great geek community,
Sure does.
But you just have to make sure that you're letting people know what's going on across town when you do it.
So yeah, like them on Facebook or go to their webpage or something like that because that's the only way you're going to find out.
Yeah. So
shortly after Hulanta, in June, there's Concast Cerberus. Now, this is one of those, like, only the locals know about it kind of conventions. It's a Doctor Who convention. They're going to be on June 8th and 9th, going back to their original hotel at the Holiday Inn Research Park in Huntsville, Alabama. Go for the convention and the wonderfully friendly people. Stay an extra day so you can go to the National Rocket Center in Huntsville, formerly known as the Marshall Space Flight Center. You will thank me. It's amazing.
Okay, cool.
And then finally we get a break for a while, until the end of November for Chicago TARDIS. And I gotta go to that thing. Yep. I gotta go.
We will be discussing that during the news segment because there is an interesting caveat to apply to Chicago TARDIS for those people that either have or have not included it on their calendar in years past for a very specific reason that has to do with November, but we'll get to that shortly.
And then last but not least, at least on my calendar so far, I'd love to hear about any other Who conventions other people know about that I don't. There's the Sci-Fi Sea Cruise. My old buddy Dan Harris, taking 2 weeks, December 13th through 22nd, and sailing all around the Caribbean, lovely warm weather, with Sylvester McCoy, Peter Davison, Terry Malloy, Ian McNeese, and more.
So you can go out and slather sunscreen on...
It's a totally different experience than a convention. It is more like a group of friends cruising together, and you really do get to know these people extremely well. Because you see them in their bathing suits, for starters.
Well.
but one of the reasons that Dan's so successful is getting these guests is because once someone has come, they come back as often as their schedule permits. Most of these guys are repeat guests. Nick Courtney, this was one of his favorite things to do. And, it is really a spectacularly great time.
Do they put together activities and things for the nature of the
cruise? Yes.
I would assume this is what you said. It runs just shy of about 2 weeks.
Yeah. You've got days at sea. You're visiting Aruba and all kinds of other, tropical locations. Sometimes they shoot videos, like fan videos. Sometimes they do audio workshops. Sometimes they do treasure hunts. It's all kinds of fun stuff. And they also partake together in the local attractions, like meeting dolphins face to face and things like that. So, it's very different, but possibly one of the more expensive things you can do because it is the cost of a 2-week cruise. However, I promise you, you'll consider it worth every penny.
Okay. Interesting.
And this is by far not at all an exhaustive list. I mean, there's cons out there. And if travel is a thing that prohibits you a lot, there's tons of small cons that aren't going to get the big names that the other cons do, but are still like fantastic fantastic things to to meet other local Whovians or just to get out and do something. So if traveling is something that keeps you from doing it, by all means, check the, you know, check and see what you have going on in your local area or within, you know, a day trip away or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Don't just go to the cons with all the big stars, right? These little cons will become big cons someday. Most of the ones I've mentioned started off very small.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to Gallifrey when there was less than 500 people attending.
Right.
So, right.
There are
so
even
support your local con.
Yeah, sort of tangentially attached to conventions are things that regional groups, Whovian groups, will put together that are meetups and gatherings that mm-hmm. then may blossom into cons. So they'll do book signing events, or they will do get-togethers. You can find either statewide or regional Whovian groups on Facebook and things of that nature to be able to track them down and see who you've got in the various metro areas or statewide. If you're in a smaller state like I am in Connecticut, we've got our RCT Whovians and such. But the whole idea is you can find their sort of gatherings, their meetups, that once they get to a certain size or they gain a certain amount of a guaranteed attendance, then they start considering the idea of they, with a couple of other regional or statewide groups, consider pooling their resources and start considering mm-hmm. putting together their first convention track. And these are the fledgling stages. So they can't get to that point unless you're there. And part of just being there is even before they become something that is panel schedule oriented and guests and so forth, it's a matter of just getting together with like-minded folks and really being able to sort of unpack anything that you choose. You know, conversation jumps all over the place. People move into pockets and say, all right, well, you know, we're going to be talking some new Who, classic Who comparisons over here, but these folks over at this table are talking about, card-based tabletop games within the Whovian realm, things like that. So it just, mm-hmm. it becomes its own little very informal ad hoc convention of just a couple dozen people and then a couple hundred people and so forth. So
yeah, and don't forget, there are bigger cons that I haven't mentioned that are going to invite Doctor Who guests because it's a mainstream show now.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. But well, there you go.
It's going down the toilet, you know. It went so mainstream. No one can't watch it.
No, all these young whippersnappers are watching it now.
Ugh, I liked it before. It was cool.
Yeah. So
I liked it when it was just we and not they.
All right. If you are still too introverted to leave your home and actually be seen with other people or what have you, or if you've got some time to kill on your commute or something of that sort, train commuters, please. No, not while you're driving. There's plenty of things that you can read to stay within.
With the new lane assist, it's fine.
There you go. Yeah. If the steering
wheel.
This
is why self-driving car technology is pushing forward.
Exactly. Personally, I plan on sleeping. If my car drives on its
own, I would take a nap.
Hell yeah. Anyway, mm-hmm. But if you're an insomniac on your morning commute, it's a horrible segue, you've got options for things like comics. Haley, I know this is well within your wheelhouse as far as just your regular kind of consumption, your media consumption. A lot of it is panel to panel. So as far as things like the recent Doctor series offerings that we get from Titan Comics, you know, whether it be, you know, Ninth Doctor and above, although they work backwards as well. But just as far as the things that are still hitting the racks as we speak, are you a regular consumer of Titan work?
Not yet. I got the free comic book on Free Comic Book Day last year and mm-hmm. read that one. But other than that, I haven't read a lot of it yet. It's part of my bigger project where I'm going to watch all of the classic and then listen to all the audios and read all the books and everything.
Okay, cool.
But it has to happen in order.
I did see a preview going around, I forget in which publication I saw, that said there will be another 13th Doctor offering on National Comic mm-hmm. Book Day this coming May 4th.
Yep, so first Saturday in May.
Yep. Make a party out of it. Find your comic book shop that is making a big whoop-de-doo out of it and go down there and support them because they thrive on you being there.
Titan's been doing some excellent work.
Really yeah. have. I would say pretty much any opportunity, if you see anything in recent publication that is going to have Jody Hauser's name on it or Rachel Stott drawing it, just mm-hmm. give them your money now. Just please.
Yeah.
You're not going to go wrong. And if you want to work your way into the back catalog, of course, anything you're going to touch that has Paul Cornell's name on it, you're done. You're done.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. And if you're looking for something that covers older material, or maybe things that were originally published back in Doctor Who Magazine, even back when it used to be called Doctor Who Weekly, thankfully, IDW has a number of bound compendiums and omnibi, more than one omnibus is an omnibi. Somebody help me with this. I hate every
murder of crows.
Every freaking episode, there's Keir stumbling around trying to find a word.
And we just sit back and laugh.
I'm going with omnibi.
Because, I think it's multibuses.
Okay.
A TARDIS of comics.
So you'll be able to get things that are things like the Fourth Doctor collection or something of that sort, yeah. Which are actually, for that omnibus, you've got, I think it's in multiple installments, obviously, because you can't cover it all. But I just recently saw a friend of mine just gave me a hand-me-down copy of Dave Gibbons's collection, who was the original illustrator for the strips that they would put in Doctor Who magazine back from their first episode.
And many others, yes.
Yeah. So, and he covered everything from Fourth Doctor up to, I think his last installment was a Fifth Doctor story, and then he handed the pen over, or I should say the ink over to the next artist. Really kind of cool stuff. And I've got it in this big oversized hardcover. I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. It's dreary. Like the color palette is really, really auburn and burnt sienna and all these dark colors. And I was actually chatting with some other folks about it, and they said, "Oh, no, the dark tones. I just find it kind of it's tough to read through. You know, you just go through it, and visually, it's just this kind of this tough thing to drag your eyes across. Apart from the story, just visually." And I said, "Nah, I think I kind of figured it out. It's kind of the palette of the Fourth Doctor's wardrobe.
Right.
The whole thing is cast in his weird kind of earth tones." Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, there's also, if for those of you who don't like to have physical objects, all of these things that we've just mentioned are also available digitally from your favorite bookstore of choice.
Yeah, very true. And
I love digital stuff. Takes up way less space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic for loading up on an iPad or something when you're flying economy class somewhere, like a convention, and you can catch up.
Or somewhere like Kansas.
One of the best Doctor Who conventions I went to in a long time was in Wichita, Kansas. It was really
I heard
great.
They rolled up the sidewalks at night during that convention.
Sure did.
I lived in Kansas at the time, and I didn't make it to that one.
Yeah. William Russell was there, and I'm sorry, I'll diverge for a second. He during his speech, he kept talking about, "I've always wanted to visit Kansas." And we're all like, "You've been to other planets." But when he was a boy, he used to read stories about the Midwest and the Wild West. And so he was always fascinated by the exotic cowboy culture of the West. And so he was absolutely thrilled. They took him to a rodeo and an old-time theater in Wichita, and he was thrilled.
Did he start breaking into the Gunfighter songs? Okay. I just want to know. I just want to know. That's okay, anyway.
I bet he liked it.
If you're looking for something in a slightly different format, but you do like the written page, go with a fuller novel. Whether it be some of the novelizations, even go back to the classic Target novelizations. We talk about these from time to time. You can find a Pulp Fiction Target novelization either at a con, or if you're lucky, like I did the last time I was in Cardiff, I roamed around some of the used bookstores and grabbed a couple dozen of them for, 25 pence a piece. I mean, it was just stupid cheap. And grab all kinds of things. So you can get the, Malcolm Hulk's original take on his stories, or Terry Dick's the way that he would have written out the story in full in non-script
form. Ian Martyr's brilliant novelization.
Yeah, just fun stuff. Or if you want something kind of original, whether it be a full novel, you got plenty of those to choose from, and they get published on a regular basis from some great authors. Or you have ones that are short story collections, which I think are kind of cool because my attention span really sucks. So you got ones that are either collections from numerous authors, or you have ones that are a handful of authors doing a particular thematic collection. The one that more recently was published that I'm really enjoying right now is actually one of Crystal D's and Simon Gurrier, I think, is a co-writer on it. For Women Who Lived, which was a collection of all of these strong female characters from primarily
right across the history of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Crystal D, you'll know, you'll obviously recognize from the Doctor Who fan show and as part of the new time team for Doctor Who magazine. So
there's in particular, there were some new Target style covers for novelizations by Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Highly recommended.
Yeah, we were talking about them just a couple of months ago when they were published. When, I know one of my personal favorites, one that I refuse to remove from my Kindle, was Paul Cornell's novelization of Twice Upon a Time.
Oh, man.
You know, great embellishment to the televised story. Loads of fun. And, of course, you know, with Paul, you know, that was his stock in trade for quite some time in carrying through us through the dark years. So
there's also, I'll put in a plug for one of my favorite authors, Paul Mars, mm-hmm. who writes all kinds of stuff, not just Doctor Who related, but basically anything with his name on it you should probably get.
Mm. Although for those who are unfamiliar, phonetically spelled, no. You don't look for Paul Mars.
M-A-G-R-S.
There's a silent G in there. okay, now we get to the sweet spot. Jay, I'm going to lean hard on you on this one because I know this is something that you and I have wasted a lot of time and money on. and that's, some of it is BBC Audio. I should be fair. Mm. They've done direct audio plays that are lovely. But when you're talking Whovian audio, you're only talking one group, really.
Yeah. I mean, anyone that's listened to more than one episode of GPR knows exactly where we're going here. It's Big Finish. I mean, these guys put out phenomenal content all the time. I mean, it's getting to the point where I can't even keep track of where I am in my order schedule. It's just stuff keeps popping up. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. Sweet. Mm-hmm. If you want Doctor Who content, you don't have to look further than Big Finish because they will keep you busy until the new series starts without blinking.
Yeah. In fact, given how long it takes to listen to the stories, it's pretty much a continuous flow. In
it's true.
You'll have pretty time much. for very little else. I was just looking. As soon as Jay said that, I just decided to go look at my download catalog because on bigfinish.com you can order things. And they just stay in your account and you can re-download them anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 50 of my 72 that I haven't listened to. So, boy.
Yeah. Somebody needs to get
Slacker.
To work.
Yeah, really. Well, that's not counting the ones, that's not counting the other 50 or so that I own that are physical discs. These are all just downloads.
Yeah. The tricky thing about Big Finish, and one of the things that I will credit them for in just the way that they organize their catalog, is they try very hard to try to keep things within ranges to make it easier for you. And their search functionality on their website, even on mobile, which is phenomenal because normally if you try to do any sort of search or filtering parameters on a mobile device, it's a laughing stock. But they're able to say something like, okay, well, you want to track a particular companion? Okay, here you go. Run through it this way.
Yeah.
And here's all you want it chronologically. Or do you want it chronologically by release or chronologically by their timeline? You know, it really gets into the minutia because they are as huge fans as we are for obvious reasons, arguably far more so. But the fact that they do these range organizations allows you to be able to just say, you know what, I want to do a deep dive on the Sixth Doctor. That's it. I want to know... I want to understand better. I want people to explain to me, or I want some rationale behind the explanation that that Colin Baker is not this irascible sort who, you know, I can barely get through televised episodes or something. Not my personal take, but I've had this conversation. So you can do that. You can dive into it and approach it that way. You can take it as far as adversaries. You can take it as far as continuations of characters beyond your original understood storyline. And the coolest thing that I think recently, well, it's not recent, but it's something they've had the opportunity to be able to do a lot of things, are these sort of these frozen moments where because of the nature of them being able to sort of stuff adventures into what we understood as a thorough timeline. I've seen these adventures from start to finish. They find ways to be able to work things into pockets that allow you to enjoy more from those characters that you thought you had seen and heard everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just
also, this is your chance to listen to original audio stories that feature some performers that aren't with us anymore, like Mary Tam, for example. Lovely.
Yeah.
There's also, wonderful Fraser Hines doing the Second Doctor in some of these stories. Mm-hmm. There's the Companion Chronicles. There's just so much amazing stuff. And we're just talking about the Doctor Who stuff here. They have ranges and ranges and ranges beyond all that. Check out the Sherlock Holmes, for example, just as a random example.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes series, Dark Shadow series, the Prisoner series, you know, anything that you want to. Basically, you know, or Blake 7. Just continue to spiral through an entire British television back catalog.
They've gone back and done the original Avengers series, not the one where, you know, not the ones that we're all familiar with, but the earlier stories when it was more about a police surgeon and his assistant. Mm-hmm. And what? Huh?
Yeah. Yep. So a ton to absorb in that regard. And yeah, as Jay alluded to, their release schedule makes you kind of wonder how it is that in the time it took you to listen to 3 hours of released audio, they've recorded 6 more hours. I don't know how they do that. Exactly.
They've got a TARDIS.
It's all that working with
Time
Lords.
I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah. Working with Time Lords, and apparently they're amazing lunches. That's all I ever hear about is lunches.
So. Yeah, they've got a conveyor belt of actors, and it just like takes them through a booth and then straight out to the lunch table. It just doesn't stop moving.
Yeah. Say this line, go have a sandwich. Come back in, say this line, go have some soup. Mm-hmm. But there, when I had approached our listeners to give us some additional suggestions, there were the timing was ideal because this was just at the point where, as of the time of recording, Twitch has just gotten into the long stretch for another classic rewatch, which is so much fun. I swear, if you've never done a Twitch watch, even if you're not involved in it, you just sit back as a casual observer. It's both endearing and hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, the chat room is, I mean, yes, the actual video content is endearing and hilarious as well. But finding all these people who are discovering Doctor Who, oh man, it's a joy. It's a joy.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. But it's so fast. Oh my God, does it go by fast. Yeah. I was joking with Jeremy Raddick the other day because he had shared this picture that said, oh, you know, we've got the Twitch watch up on the TV. You know, the kids are enjoying this, that, and the other thing. And from the photo he took from his couch, his TV up on the wall was maybe 16 feet away. And I said, how in the world are you following the chat stream at that speed from 16 feet away?
Yeah. No.
I
just drop in for like 5 minutes at a time, and then I make the episode full screen. I got to focus.
Yeah, true. So that's one opportunity for some additional Whovian fix. Something else that you can, if you're fortunate enough to be in an area where something like this takes place in a metro area that has this kind of following, find a trivia night.
Yes.
Not that difficult to find. Jay Haley, when you found one, you were at a con, correct? At the one.
Yes, yeah, but it was a Doctor Who convention.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But I do see them emerge from time to time, just being offered on whether it's, you know, events.com or something like that.
Or the Geeks Who Drink occasionally will do a Doctor Who themed trivia night as well.
Your local other sci-fi clubs would probably be very open to the idea of a one-time Doctor Who quiz.
Oh, definitely. Sure. Especially right now. You know, ride the popularity wave, you know, catch things or make the suggestions. And if you got enough people to chime in with you and say, absolutely, I'd be there for that, then it will carry.
And if you feel brave enough, if you, like, really know your chops and nobody else wants to put one on, find a comic shop or something like that that would – they would absolutely love to host one, and then watch how quickly your vast knowledge of Doctor Who gets shot down in flames when people come in answering the questions that you worked so hard to research.
Yeah, well, that's where you can tap into things like back in the day. I think if you go back to, I can't remember the original publication dates. It's got to be the early 80s or so. Target actually had quiz books that you could grab that were like do you talk about in the weeds? Oh my God, the questions in these things were just insane. They were like line by line, you know. I would never like, I've played the Trivial Pursuit card collections and things like that, and those are challenging enough for the minutia. But these things were just insane, you know, captured from a throwaway line on the fourth episode of a 6-episode run and so forth, you know.
But in the third episode of City of Death, when they're in Paris and this, that, and the other, what was the name of the camera guy who was sick on Wednesday?
Right, yeah. You joke, but that's the degree. because it requires some really hardcore, and this is like separating wheat from the chaff kind of trivia here. This is like final round level stuff, but yeah.
What sort of tree did Adric throw up behind in an outtake from Castrovalva?
Best off just texting Matthew Waterhouse and asking him. There's just no way I'm going to know. But okay. As far as all other sort of outside of convention gatherings and things, we've had the opportunity, thank you to Nicole Adini and some other friends that we've met over the cons over the last couple of years and listeners who have joined us on the cast and things. There are a growing number of Doctor Who improv and comedy performance troupes that you can enjoy too. I know the folks over from Coal Hill AV Club spend as much time doing some great stage performance stuff that is half improvised and half scripted, sort of game format, parody songs, and all that good stuff. There is a Whovian improv troupe out of New York City, which is, I think they're New York Whoprov, I believe is the name of their organization. Mm. A lot of fun too. And they're cropping up all over. Because again, they realize, hey, we're not alone. We do have an audience. If we can find a space and a venue and a time, people will come. So be those people.
Yeah. I should also mention some Facebook groups. There's plenty of them out there. Mm-hmm. Any particular interest you have in any aspect of the show probably has a group. Over on a group that I'm involved in, I'm an admin on a group called Meanwhile in the TARDIS. We're having a weekly classic rewatch, and in fact, I'm missing it to record this.
I blame Betsy. That's her fault. She schedules in a bad night. Whatever.
I know.
She didn't consult me.
It's a fun group, and of course, you'll also hear about Gallifrey Public Radio and much, much more over there.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing that I wanted to mention, Kira, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but the it's kind of a like a social media thing, the Meetup app that you can find on any phone or whatever. Groups of all kinds of I have found Doctor Who groups in like every city that I go to, and I mean, and they do everything from like, you know, get together and have some barbecue just to, you know, socialize, to like full on screenings where they rent out a movie theater. It depends on your group, but I can guarantee that there's going to be one relatively close to you, unless you live like way out in the sticks, in which case I'm sorry. But
that'd be me.
But yeah, definitely check that out. Those are good things. Or one of my favorite activities to do, even when the show is on, but I know everyone's heard me talk about it, introduce new people to the show. It's so much fun to go back and watch the stuff that you've already watched a dozen times with new people. And I can guarantee you, you will find new things to appreciate every single time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just go door to door. People love
that. Yeah. Right around airtime, you know, about Sunday night, you know, evening time, just knock on the door and say,
have you heard the good news about the fourth doctor? Have you?
Like to hand you a copy of DW Weekly.
All right. So do we have anything else? Any other tidbits people have been holding on to?
There may be others, but you're always welcome to share them with us. So by all means, chime in.
Absolutely.
One thing people can always do during the off season is the classic rewatches right along with us.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's tons of material that some of us haven't consumed yet.
It's not new material, but it's new to you.
That's right.
That's all that matters, right?
It's barely used.
So we have become the car salesman of British television.
One of the things I was going to do this year is this is the year I'm going to sit down and rewatch the Tom Baker era, because I spent last year rewatching the William Hartnell era. So, yeah, you can do it all by yourself if you have to.
But drag somebody else along, because it's more fun that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, we ready to jump into the news?
Let's do it. Okay. So for those of you who I don't want to throw the hipster term out there, but if you have an affinity for your phonograph or your Victrola or whatever it is that you're
wax cylinders, man.
Yeah. If you're real big on going through your cuneiform catalog. Increased opportunities to be able to enjoy some vinyl recordings. Can you please explain? I mean, for those of us who need things digitally so that it doesn't fall out of our pocket.
This is kind of a... Oh, I'm sorry, were you asking me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. To me, this is kind of amazing, but it is Vinyl Who, and this is from Demon Market Group. They've actually had some previous success with putting some Doctor Who stories on vinyl, and this one, well, they just went big instead of going home, because this is the Dalek Master Plan on vinyl. This is a 7 LP set.
Yeah.
And there's even a limited translucent blue edition. So, all the audio. Yeah, that was steam escaping
from
my ears.
So if you want to see what your record player looks like through the record while you're playing the record, and you get an upper body workout from flipping the disc 14 times.
But, of course, the audio for for all Doctor Who stories is intact, thanks to those early fans. Mm. And so this is, then you hand that stuff to Mark Ayres and he cleans it up amazing. And then somebody puts it on vinyl for you. And this is this set actually includes the prelude episode Mission to the Unknown that has, it's the only Doctor Who episode in which none of the regulars ever appeared.
Right, right.
And remember, almost nobody alive has seen this episode, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be quite old to actually have ever watched this on transmission. Because this is mostly a lost episode.
Yeah. Yep.
So, this is going to be pretty amazing. I can't wait to read the reviews of it.
Kind of interesting. So it's also something where you're dealing with the, well, I'm trying to think. There's the certain appeal, obviously, for those individuals who are vinyl collectors, which is still, I don't even dare calling it a trend, because it's something that has always had that consistent base to it. And, people sort of waver in and out of it because they realize, well, as much as I love it from an aesthetic standpoint, and I really love it from a sensory quality standpoint, it is a costly hobby. So if you're going to make those investments, make it in things that you're really going to enjoy and that really become keepsakes. I would definitely qualify this as one. I've seen some of the sleeve art that they're doing for this. Mm-hmm. Really, really impressive stuff.
Yeah, really impressive. But it is £100 UK. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly, because the pound keeps falling. I'm not sure exactly how much money that is, but it's over $100 US.
Yeah. Well, it'll be different by the time we release the episode anyway. So
true.
Do your calculations. True. Yeah.
But I mean, Terry Nation wrote it. Dennis Spooner co-wrote some of the episodes. Kevin Stoney, Nick Courtney, Gene Marsh, Peter Butterworth, Peter Purves, who played Stephen, does the linking narration.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Grainer, Delia Derbyshire. I mean, for those of you who are into the classic series at all, this has a bunch of those important names all in one place. An amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is iconic moment in Whovian history. As far as other moments in the Whovian timeline that were that needed some help, or that could stand to be given some extra love, there was the entire missing segment of seeing Colin Baker's final moments regenerating as a Sixth Doctor. No more. No more,
wait,
I say.
Spoilers for Haley.
Well.
Spoilers.
She's already met Sylvester, so she's got to figure out how this weird little Scotsman got involved. But just over this past weekend, a fan edit was put together that used some visual aspects and a little bit of creative editing from existing Sixth Doctor televised material, and then audio content from the Sixth Doctor's regeneration story that Big Finish gave to us just last year or the year before, I believe.
As well as Light at the End, which they also...
Yes, the Light at the
Big
End
Finish
collection.
Also did.
Yep, which was the one of their multi-doctor big collections, which was phenomenal. Drop your money on that one, too, if you haven't. And created what would have been sort of the regeneration sequence that would have been aired as far as they see it, sort of putting these things together.
Yeah,
so
actual visual presentation you can find on YouTube.
Yeah. It's really kind of impressive. It's a lot of it emotionally stirring, And I think it does, especially for those people who have gotten a better appreciation of Old Sixie through the audiobooks and have gotten to understand how the irascible nature was really something justified, and it had a course in mind, it had a destination. Mm-hmm. This did an excellent job of bringing that all to a fascinating close. I loved it.
And Harpo Marx's wig be gone.
Yes, yes, they fixed the horrible Sylvester in a wig debacle that continues to haunt me on random nights at 3 a.m.
It's your nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Last item.
So as we talked about the convention schedule being a little crazy to manage sometimes, you know, you really have to pick and choose. Chicago TARDIS, which up to this point has typically been on Thanksgiving weekend, making it very difficult to get to for traveling reasons or, you know, people that actually like to spend time with family. You know, I don't know.
Or at least not getting guilted by their family for not spending time.
Crazy people. But they have actually moved it off of Thanksgiving weekend now. So I believe it's the following weekend, correct?
Yeah, November 29th to December 1st.
So, yeah, makes it a little easier for people to get to, you know.
Increases the chance of snow.
But travel will be cheaper.
Travel will be cheaper. This is, yes. You know, for those of you who like getting away from your family for Thanksgiving, this is kind of a downer. But it will still be the same amazing convention you've always known and loved. And if you haven't been, bundle up, wear layers, and get out there. Such a great con.
Yeah, yeah. So that's something definitely to add to the docket for the close of this year. We've got Galley 1 coming up on our radar in just a couple of weeks. So definitely looking mm-hmm. forward to that.
All right. Well, next week we're going to be going back to our classic rewatch with The Hand of Fear. So this is going to be... It's going to be a thing.
Yay!
It's, well, you know what? It's going to be another one of those ones where people look at it and they say, okay, season 14, Hand of Fear, and then all of a sudden the Great Divide happens.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see how this shapes up. Mm-hmm. But until then, this has been episode 318 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, so what are we going to do? Doctor Who trivia, Doctor Who Monopoly, Doctor Who Yahtzee? What are we thinking, guys?
Mm-hmm. And this is Kira saying, I have 52 weeks, but I don't necessarily have to take them in order. So I'm okay.
This is Charles saying, life. Don't talk to me about life.
And this is Haley saying, maybe I'll finally catch up on all my other TV.
We'll see you guys next week.
And we'll see.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook @facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.